Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, beautiful people. You are listening to episode 77, Dethrone Your Inner Critic with Joanna Kleiman. And before we jump into today's show today, this episode is sponsored by Magnesium, by Living the Good Life Naturally. I had Kristen Bowen, the founder of this company, on episode 73 for Witchy Wellness Radio. And I have fallen in love with their magnesium products. And if you are interested in learning more, head over to the link in the show notes or listen to episode 73. Back to today's episode with Joanna Kleiman. She is a licensed psychotherapist, life and corporate coach, author, podcaster, motivational speaker, and the founder of Dethroning Your Inner Critic. Amazing. In this episode, you'll hear more about her own empowering story to help others dethrone their inner critics, including her own, overcoming your inner critic while overcoming your fears. Every new level of growth equals a new inner critic. Hint, it doesn't go away. Does everybody have an inner critic? And what does this really mean? The power of intention. And why our five-year-old selves are actually running our lives. How failures are just pointing us in the right direction. Learning how to design the life that you love. What is true self-confidence? And so, so much more. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 77 with Joanna Kleiman, Dethrone Your Inner Critic. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, the show you get to learn that your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And today I am super excited to talk with Joanna Kleiman. She is a licensed psychotherapist, life and corporate coach, author, podcaster, motivational speaker, and the founder of Dethroning Your Inner Critic, and which is also her new book. She considers herself to be an unconventional therapist and is driven by the conviction that the most powerful life you can live is when you know the difference between you and your inner critic. So I think we have so much to dive into today. Welcome to the show, Joanna.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We were just talking off air, like, what are some similarities we have and what we like to talk about? And I was like, you know what? Pretty much everything you talk about is what we're about here.
So. Beautiful. Beautiful. Then this is going to be an awesome conversation.
Yeah. And I always know that there's always a backstory, the hero's journey of how each and every one of us, and we're continually going through that because that's what life's all about here. Always a new level. So I would love to hear yours. How did you get to be doing the work that you do today, specifically with dethroning your inner critic?
Yeah. So, I will say that I feel like I was kind of put on the planet to do this, right? So I got into self-growth work when I was 9. My parents introduced me to self-growth work. And I very specifically remember I was about 13 years old, right? I was just sitting in a seminar with my mom. She's also a brilliant psychotherapist. And I was in this seminar. And I watched someone at the front of the room, like, transform their entire way of looking at themselves and their life, right? In a matter of, 20 minutes. And I just very vividly remember sitting there and saying, I want to be somebody that can help people to transform their life. So that really set it in stone. And I kind of never looked back. I went to college, I majored in psychology, I got my graduate degree. But I will say that when I was 19, I was doing a self-growth program, and it was a 6-day program. We were in the mountains, and I was doing a ropes course, right? I mean, that wasn't very popular back then. It was like 1989, but right. I was standing on the edge of a cliff on a dinner plate, right? I had all the gear, you know, the protective gear, but I was standing there and I had to step off this dinner plate. And I couldn't. I was like paralyzed with fear, and I was shaking, and I was crying, and you know, all of a sudden, it was almost like I heard this voice, right? I mean, maybe it was me. I don't know what it was, but basically, can I curse on your show? Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, the voice was, "Who gives a shit if you're scared?" Right? Who gives a shit? Like, okay, you're scared. Like, you got to jump off. And that, I think, was the kernel of dethroning your inner critic, right? That became the work of dethroning your inner critic, because it really led me down this path for myself first about how do you go on to take actions in your life that are in alignment with the life that you really want to be living, even if it makes you scared and it makes you uncomfortable. Right. And so then I, you know, as I was working as a psychotherapist, I've been a psychotherapist for, you know, over 25 years. So working with thousands of people, that's such a common theme, right? I'm sure you see that all the time, where the very thing that stops people from really, you know, feeling fulfilled and joyous and living lives that they love is their own mind that tells them don't take risks. So that's how this was born, essentially.
That's so beautiful. I mean, when we're going through growth like that, whether it's in our day-to-day life or we are on the edge of a cliff, in your case, yes. I have done similar things where it was on a retreat and yes. I climbed down a 35 story building.
Oh, wow.
And that's not something that I would do normally. I don't like roller coasters. And there is this power. Mm. I could hear my inner critic come in.
Yes.
Before I could feel it.
Yeah.
And and that was a huge difference for me, because I had psyched myself up. I knew I was going to do this. We get to the top of the building and we're looking out and I'm like, ugh. So I had to like gather myself and, you know, calm down, center it, ground into my heart. And I'm out on the ledge, I'm harnessed in, and the nice company that all the people who are working there, where they do all these like extreme, you know, rope course type events. They're beautiful souls. They were like coaching everybody through this. And wow. He said, now I need to weigh you into the system. So you need to put your arms out and lean back. And I said, you have to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
So I stood there and like, I could hear these thoughts like, you know, Lauren, you got this far. You've never been this far before. You would have never have done this. You don't have to go down the wall. But it was like this like scheming, like, you know, evil inner voice kind of coming in. And I was like, you know what? I don't have to go down the wall, but I am, because I did make it this far and I can make it all the way down.
That's awesome.
Same similar experience.
I'll tell you though, you know, and I don't know how old you were when you did that, right? But I was 19 and I'm going to be 50 in a month, less than a month, actually. And with every new level, right, as we keep up leveling our life, right, we still face it, right? It never goes away, you know? And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, is that living this life where we get to live out our dreams, we just got to get used to being uncomfortable over and over and over again. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Getting used to the uncomfortable, getting used to the unknown.
Yes.
because I know that inner critic just loves to plan A, B, and C. If you do A, then this will happen. And when that doesn't happen, then it's not very happy. So yes. I would love to hear, you and I know what we're talking about, and I know it's not easy, but you know, for me, meditation really helps, journaling, therapy, so many different things that you can do to become more present with your inner critic. So yes. I would love to hear from you, you know, how does one start to dethrone that inner critic? And when do we all need to do this? Or is this just a select few?
A good question. So short answer is every single human on the planet has an inner critic. Okay. Now I define the inner critic a little differently. The way that I view the inner critic is it is the automatic voice in your mind that really speaks to you all day long from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed. And we have about 50,000 thoughts a day, which is really astounding when you think about it. So that's a lot of thoughts, right? And so it's not just the voice of, you know, self-doubt and you're not good enough and you can't do it. And what if you fail, right? That's it. That's part of it. But what's interesting is that our inner critic can also be the voice of, oh, look, you are good enough because you lost the weight, you made the goal, you got the promotion, you got the relationship, right? And the issue with that is it actually feeds the self-doubt, because if our sense of being good enough and valued and worthy and loving ourselves is conditional upon needing to have our external life, right, meet the demands of what I say our inner critic. I actually call the demands your inner critic's attachments, right? Or even sometimes addictions, right? Our inner critic can get addicted to, you know, I need for, you know, life to go like this or else I won't feel good. And that's a setup. And so, you know, when you say, does everybody need this? It's so unfortunate that in our culture, we're not taught how to think, right? We just, and it's almost like we're born into this culture that teaches us that unless you are, you know, achieving some ideal standard of who you're supposed to be, then you're not enough. And so we keep comparing ourselves to this ideal standard. And guess what? It doesn't matter where you are in life, right? I work with the most extraordinary, you know, successful, right? In the traditional sense of the word, successful people on the planet. And they're miserable when they first come to see me because they've achieved all the goals that they've set out to accomplish. That's wonderful, but they still feel unfulfilled. And so as I am teaching myself to think in a way where no matter what results I'm producing, right, whether life is going in the direction that I want it to, or it's not, because sometimes, right, half the time it doesn't go in the direction I want it to. But if I can continue to build that muscle to think in a fundamentally different way, right, not even change what my old mind says, because we really can't change that old mind. It's been with us since we were 5 or 6, right? It's really about letting that old mind be and recognizing that we are separate from that old mind, right? And I know you do, you were telling me you do a lot of work on that too in your, right? In your work with people.
Yep. It's realizing, you know, for me, I started a lot of this work through realizing my body was telling me like these symptoms I was having physically were actually not the symptoms. They were the symptoms, but the root cause was up here.
Yep.
And that's what led me into all this research and just like,
yes,
the, getting into this world of meditation, mindfulness, presence, it's more than just yoga. I realize how much I needed it. And it's in the times that even now that are, you know, challenging times that I value these practices and showing up for myself the most. Some days are better than others, but I think the biggest thing is you start to build that muscle, and it doesn't matter if you have a bad day or you fall off the horse, or so to speak, with any of your practices, or you're letting that negative self-talk come power. It's about how can we shorten that refractory period to start moving that ball forward again. And you talk a lot about the power of intention and how powerful that is. And I think when you start, you want to do any type of lifestyle change, but when you are starting to reconfigure how, maybe not how you think, but how the way that you think, right? Like you said, our culture doesn't teach us how to think.
Yeah.
The power of intention is extremely, I don't know the word, extremely powerful, but beneficial. Without it, it's like,
We're just,
why are we doing it?
Exactly. So I created what I call the mind method, MIND. And that's the four steps to dethroning your inner critic. I'll just share the steps briefly. The M step is meet your inner critic. So it's really getting intimately familiar with everything that your inner critic mind says, and when it says it, and why it says it, and where it comes from, right? Which is really biological in nature. The I step is investigate the indication signs. So I call these the blinking red lights that alert you that your inner critic has taken over your mind. So when you were talking about your body, right, your body alerted you, that's a clear indication sign, right? It's those like physical and emotional warning signs that your inner critic has taken over. And the end step is neutralize the never-ending message, because here's the thing that most people don't really know, is that anytime you are in the throes of suffering, right, emotionally suffering or being triggered, essentially what's going on is your mind is fundamentally giving you the same message that it's been giving you since you've been like five. So you had a five-year-old version of that never-ending message, you had a 15-year-old version of it, you had a 25-year-old version of it, you have your now version of it. And basically it goes back to the same thing. So the circumstance could be the circumstance, but what it's triggering in you is that familiar feeling of I'm not enough. And when you really understand those first three steps, the M, the I, and the N, and you really understand, wait a minute, this is just my inner critic. This isn't me. That's where what you're saying, the power of intention, really becomes powerful, because now, and that's the D step. The D step is design your life. And so it's living into this future that we are creating. And right, because which only comes from action, right? So anytime we're producing results in our lives, it's always from action. But we want to stop listening to that old mind that thwarts our action, right? That keeps us stuck. So it's, again, allowing all of that to be what it is, but you're no longer fused with that old mind, right? So that old mind is the mind of memory. And then what you're calling the mind, right, that intention, that is the new mind that comes from inspiration. And that's a very different mind. And I don't know about you, Lauren, but for me, the only way that I have been able to create the life that I'm living right now, right, in any area of my life, right, is by continually unhooking from that old mind and setting an intention for the life that I want to design, and then taking action from that mind as opposed to the triggered mind.
Yes, yes, yeah, like 1,000%. And a quote I love and I have to remind myself every day is, you don't see the world how it is, you see the world how you are.
Yeah.
And oh, it's, my, yeah, it's so important to make sure you are aligned with that. You know, I you know, as people say, heart-centered is another word for what you just described, your intuition in a way.
Yes.
Because it does speak to you, and physical symptoms sometimes or thoughts pop into your head and you have to go with it. And things may unfold not the way you plan them to, but they unfold perfectly as they need to. And I'm reminded of that in every area of my life.
Oh my gosh. You know, as I've been building, you know, this life, I mean, it is astounding how many times I've failed. It is astounding how many different projects didn't go in the direction that I wanted them to, or, you know, business relationships that didn't turn out to be what I thought that they were, right? But every single one of those times, you know, I look back, I mean, they were instrumental in having me create what I'm creating today, right? And so many people, it's so unfortunate when people think that just because things are going wrong, that means they're on the wrong path, and they give up, right? I'm always reminded of, you might be too young for this movie. Do you know the movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner?
Oh yes, Build It and They Will Come.
You look too young to know that movie.
Thank you.
But that, right? That's like a theme of my life. Like, if you build it, they will come, and you just need to keep building it and building it and building it and building it, and just don't stop and just keep taking action, and they will come.
Yep. You just have to, for me, it's, you know, there's a law of attraction. I guess the past like 15 years-ish, maybe longer. I can't remember when The Secret came out.
Right.
That was really big when that came out. But you have to align with that person that you want to be and just be that person regardless of the external circumstances.
Yes.
And that's the point. Yeah.
It's the point. And to keep being that person and to keep showing up. But this is the thing that has been a game changer for me. So I'm curious if this has been a game changer for you. It is being unattached.
Yep.
Right. That was a huge shift for me in my life. And you know what? It doesn't just show up in the area of business. You know, I'm a mom of three kids. And my, so I have two boys and a girl, and my oldest is 18 and a half now. My middle is 16 and my daughter is 12. And particularly as my boys were becoming teenagers, right? I had a lot of attachments about how I wanted them to, you know, think of me and see me as a mom. And I wanted them to, you know, like just think I was like the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, you know, I'm an only child. So I didn't come from like knowing that teenage boys do not think their moms are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Right. And so a lot of my own work with dethroning my own inner critic really came from, even letting go of my attachments as to, you know, how I wanted them to be with me and treat me. And when I started being more at peace and letting go of my attachments and my demands, my relationship with my boys like really became fundamentally different because my inner critic wasn't running my relationship with them, right? Instead, I was, because I let go of needing them to make me feel valued and loved and important. That was a huge shift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is huge.
Absolutely. And it just, you know, you can apply it to any area of your life, you know, your kids, your significant other, your business partners, your, right. Just your, you know, all of it.
Or dogs. We are finding out right now that animals are the exact same way. And it's so fun playing with this because at an emotional, and for me, this energetic level, animals just keep reading you, right? And it's like, if I'm not being this leader in my own life, you know, my dog's going to act out and she's going to walk all over me, which is kind of funny. But
that's funny.
When I change my energy and I am this leader of the pack and non-attachment to how she reacts, that's what changes it.
Fascinating.
But with her, I had a picture a year ago, I'll link it in the show notes, of my partner and I, like, we do these mind movies. So they're like, they're vision boards, but movies. So you meditate and watch them with an affirmation. And I photoshopped one of us in front of like our dream house and with a puppy behind us, just for fun. And I actually photoshopped for a living, like I'm a retoucher for a living. So it was something fun for me to do. And we just got our dog about a month ago and she is a year old.
Yes.
So when I made this photo, it was a year ago, and she is the exact same coloring and fur as this dog that was in this photo.
That is wild.
It's just one of those crazy, and I let go, and we have tried to get a dog during COVID since April. Oh. And it has been which is great for dogs, but things fell through, like you said, that...
Because everybody wants a dog, of course.
Everybody wants a dog.
Yeah.
And she is beautiful and the sweetest heart in the world. She cuddles. She could cuddle all day long. But she needs a little bit of puppy manners. She was not trained. She's a year old. And just because you manifest something or you get to that, you know, I call it if-then happiness is, you know, if I'm married, then everything will be okay. Or if I have a huge bank account, or, you know, if I have a dog, then, you know, I'll be happy. And I'm realizing it's not, you know, this is another reminder. It's not over when the thing comes into your life. You got to keep being that person. And not only that, you have to continue to grow and show up as that newer and bigger version of yourself.
Always.
And I mean, just day-to-day examples like the both of us, like it doesn't have to be the fancy sports car or the McMansion or, you know, it's real life examples.
Absolutely. Well, those are the most important ones, right? You know, I believe that really the quality of our lives boils down to our relationship with ourselves and then our relationships with the people that we love. I mean, that's right. If you know how to think in a way where you love and value yourself, right? And then you cultivate profound, deep connections with other people, you know, you've won the lottery of life, right? Everything else is just gravy, really.
Oh yeah. That's my partner and I always say, like, we've already won the lottery by finding each other. And tapping into that feeling every day, feeling grateful for actually some things, but for nothing.
Yes.
That's another game changer too for me. Because that's the state of receivership, is feeling grateful. You've already received what you wanted.
Right. Like grateful for who you already are and the life you're already living. Oh my God, there's nothing. When you tap into that, there is nothing that feels better. Totally agree. Yep.
And it's hard for me. Like we get up between like 4:30 and 5:30 every morning. Oh, and I know. And then my partner, he's up ready to go. And I still have to work every single day. He'll lay there and he'll just roll over and be like, I'm so grateful. Da, 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 da. And it takes me a minute. Like I have to get this ball going here, people, because naturally I could sleep all day. That's just how I am. But I know I'm grateful for getting my butt up in the morning, moving my body, even if it's just 20 minutes, meditating, journaling, and planning and designing the day that I want to have. Like, it doesn't go normally the way that I think it's going to go, But when I do those things, I'm better prepared to handle whatever comes my way.
Yes. Yeah.
And day to day, but also, you know, that adds up over time. And I would love to hear what you have to say about how to design that life that you love.
Yes. Well, first of all, I think you just hit the nail on the head when you talked about gratitude, right? So, designing life, right, is really about already having the experience right now that we love the life that we're currently living and we love who we already are. And that is really something that comes with deliberate, conscious intention, right? Because listen, I've been practicing this work, the work of dethroning your inner critic. I really can say that I've been practicing it on some level for the last like 20 something years, okay? And I can assure you that I do not wake up into gratitude ever, right? I wake up into like, you know, like, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, I wake up into my old mind, right? And so it's really not about designing a new life is not about like, oh, we've got it handled and we're just always, you know, walking around feeling great, right? It's recognizing that what makes us, you know, have that sort of inner struggle or right inner discontent is usually that we've got thoughts that we don't even know that we're having, right? And the thought leads, like it's the same old thought that leads to the same old emotion that then leads to the same old behavior that then leads to more of the same emotion, leads to more of the same thoughts. And, you know, pretty soon we're in a spiral. And, you know, in the work that I do with people, right, I have people really get quiet and still, I have them do a lot of brain dumps, right? Because some, it's like they don't even know that an hour ago they saw something on TV or they saw something on Facebook or they saw something at the grocery store that triggered them. They don't even know. They're just like, I'm just in one of those moods. I just don't know why, right? And we don't recognize that it's really that we had this unconscious thought that was rooted in that memory mind. So designing your new life is about really starting to pay attention to that and then to step into what I call that newly rewired mind, which is where you are practicing things like intentional gratitude and appreciation for the accomplishments that you already have in your life, right? What you've already created, almost like looking at who you already are and the life that you've already designed for yourself and allowing your mind to be a little blown by what you've already done. So that now, right, you've got goals you're working on, you've got things you want to accomplish, but it's not from the place of, like you said before, I need that in order to feel good. It's, I already feel good now. And so I can take actions that are in alignment with, you know, my goals. And the truth is, if I never get there, I'm already living such a magical life. It doesn't even matter, right? And it always, action always forwards something, right? So it's almost like we get to go on this journey moving forward, and we just get to experience moment by moment using our minds to create the experience of joy and gratitude and abundance and love and fulfillment. I mean, it's amazing when you know how to use your mind that way.
Oh, for sure. And I think for me, it was really during my college graduation that I realized that I created a life that I did not like. Mm. That my entire life until that point was about getting into a good school, getting into college, graduating, getting a job. And it was your entire life's purpose.
Mm. Yes, which we're taught, right? Like we're not just from our parents, but it's like our parents are taught that from our culture. It's not even their fault, right? We're like, living in this culture that perpetuates that.
Yeah. And the big thing, like you just mentioned, is it's nobody's fault, but it's your responsibility to own mm-hmm. your happiness, to own your own mind. And I knew, I was just like, you know, there's got to be something better out there. I can't be the only one who's having I wasn't even quarter life crisis agent. You know, I was 22 years old starting to do this.
Right.
But I knew I didn't like where I was at then. I knew there had to be something better, but I didn't know what that was.
Yes.
If people start working with you, you know, for me, it was really hard to figure out what did I want. I ended up realizing it was because I didn't think I was worthy of a lot of stuff.
Right.
Ding, ding, yep. ding. But if someone starts working with you or picks up your new book and they're like, I'm not happy with my life, but I don't know where to start. What do yes. I want? How would you help them?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I would say is you don't even need to know specifically what you want, right? Because it really happens, right? More from a feeling from within, like you said, right? You didn't know what you want, but what you did know is you didn't feel good about you, right? And so even just taking that very first step to say, I want to like me right now. I want to like the life that I have. It doesn't mean that you don't want to make changes, right? You might have changes that you want to make, and that's fine. But you can still tap into liking parts of yourself and liking parts of your life and having more even room for, and maybe even compassion for, what I'm going to call that old mind that created a lot of the things that you're saying you want to change, right? So it's not that you're not good enough. It's not even that you're broken. It's that so many people don't know that they have an inner critic mind. So they're so fused with that automatic mind that they don't even access the part of ourselves that sort of lurks below that, right? That I call that the authentic self. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people that call it different things, but it's like once you start just separating yourself, right? Unhooking yourself from that old mind, there's this authentic self that starts to emerge. And that's when you begin to just even start to see, oh, maybe I'll take a pottery class, right? And then the pottery class leads to something else. Oh, I like art, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, 5 years down the road, you find yourself in art school, right? You don't need to know 5 years down the road. You don't even need to know a year down the road. All you need to know is what is the very next step? What's the very next action for me to take? It doesn't even have to be the right action, right? Because we don't know what the right action is. It's just what does my inner self, my authentic self, what does it want for me next? And that's it. We just got to keep, that's how life starts to unfold. We take the next action and then we see where life goes. And then we take the next action and the next action and the next action. And before you know it, you look back and you're like, oh my God, right? Who would have thought that this would be my career? Who would have thought this would be my relationship? Who would have thought that this would be my body, right? So many people get hung up on, I have to know where I'm going. Ditch that.
And that completely keeps you from getting there, is focusing on that end result. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier, it's like getting comfortable, feeling uncomfortable. But yes. It's this huge surrender aspect of it too.
Absolutely.
Which when you say that word, most people, they're like, tighten up even more.
Yes. Yes.
But it's, you never know how life's going to unfold. I met my partner through doing yoga, and he was mutual friends, but he was my yoga teacher. And I was always like, oh no, sacred space. But it just unfolded and we started to be friends. And one day I heard that little voice inside me saying, you know, you should ask him to brunch. And who knew, over 2 years later, we are here. Here we are, you know.
Yeah. And that's how it goes. You listened. You know, I love what you're saying, because that's that, right? That's that sort of intuitive inner knowing, right? That's the part of ourselves. When we can tap into that, it's almost like we're being guided by something else, right? It's like the voice comes and says, just take that next step. And right, sometimes we even go, really? Like, right? I don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable, but we do it anyway. Yeah. And then that propels our life in a different direction. I love that. That's great.
And and that's what you're talking about, is dethroning that inner critic. It's really being able to decipher what type of thought is this, or what part of my mind is this coming from?
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, our inner critic mind is always formed when we're very young. And the reason why not a single human escapes this voice is because every one of us, right? We don't, even if we come from, you know, no trauma or anything like that, right? We all have this moment in time where something doesn't feel right, right? Something happens in our early life. We feel in some way not good enough. We feel rejected. We feel like we've failed, right? And it starts early. It's that first moment, right? And to a little child, that first moment feels incredibly uncomfortable because we don't have the maturity to understand that it's normal. So a little child will decide, this is incredibly painful and incredibly uncomfortable, and I never want to feel this again. And so a little child will immediately, and this is all subconscious, but a little child will try and figure out, okay, who do I need to be, and what do I need to do, and what do I need to control to make sure that I never feel this pain again? So they become the people pleaser, or they become the smart one, or they become the funny one, or they become, you know, so we step into these roles so early on, and then we keep trying to chase those roles as the thing that's going to make us feel good. And the more we chase those roles, the worse we feel. And it's all of us. It's every single one of us, right? And nobody talks about this. Nobody talks about, right, how we all struggle with self-doubt, and we all struggle with lack of confidence, and we all have fear, right? Especially men. Men aren't even, you know, it's like in our culture, men aren't allowed to feel fear, right? Like they're so everything gets channeled as anger, right? Sometimes with women too, but more with men. It's so I'm looking forward to the day where this is taught early on, right? Where children are taught how to think in a way that makes them feel good right now.
100%. And for me, thank you for saying that it's every single person. For me, even knowing about this work, you know, a very lovely childhood, I didn't give myself permission to know that, you know, we all have our own little, you know, misbeliefs, or that wounded inner child.
Yes.
That, you know, I wasn't, you know, I should just be okay. And that was part of it.
Absolutely.
I should just be okay. I had a great upbringing, and like, I'm very privileged. I should just stuff all my emotions down and keep going. And that's so common, especially with women, because we got to do it all now. Be the mom, the career, the good body, you know.
All of it. Yep. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's really, and it, well, it's not just exhausting. It's not possible. And right. And yet as women, particularly this, and studies show this, okay, that a woman's inner critic is worse than a man's. Okay. And I think that what happens for women is we have this sort of ideal picture of who we're supposed to be. Okay. And it lives inside of our minds, right? And so you're right, in this image is like, right, we look a particular way, we act a particular way, and we success looks like this, and you know, it's all over, right? And we don't recognize that it's just not humanly possible to be that. And we keep trying because we think that that's who we're supposed to be. And it's a setup for constantly feeling like we are lacking something.
Yeah. And I think with social media, you know, past decade, really probably 20 years now, you know, people say that their Instagram life or their Facebook life, and it's just these polished pictures, and you get these people spiraling down after looking at, like you said, that doing a brain dump, you don't realize that you were looking at somebody's Instagram, whether, you know, their fitness, their, you know, their body, or maybe their business. For me, yeah, it was like, I would just spend hours, you know, I don't know what I want to do with my life or my career. And I would just spend hours on different, you know, looking at different juice bars or coaches or whatever. And I would just be like, the rest of the day, I would just feel so defeated and I couldn't do anything. And I was like, Lauren, you're not trying to be those people. You need right. to be you.
Exactly.
And that exactly. was a huge, huge thing for me. And
yes,
when you're in the middle of things, whether it's something like that or, you know, just life happening, I've found so much power and doing this work and these practices like that you teach of remaining peaceful through difficult situations.
Yes.
And absolutely. I would love to hear how, you know, how you help teach people to remain peaceful no matter what the circumstances are at hand, because that's life skill that every single person needs.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I actually, in my work with people, so I work with people individually, and then I also have group programs. Actually, the name of my program is Mastering Your Mind, right? So, but I walk people through exercises, right, that have them really powerfully distinguish what is the difference between their inner critic mind and their new mind, right? And so it's not about just automatically being at peace in every situation. Okay. Like I said before, especially, right, I've got a lot of things that I'm creating in my business that are taking me way outside of my comfort zone. So I am not going to sit here and say that I'm at peace when I'm outside of my comfort zone, far from it, right? So it's not about being at peace all of the time, right? It's about using my, what I call, right, those indication signs, my emotions, my physical body sensations, maybe some behaviors, right? Those are the blinking red lights that right, mirror, oh, wait a minute. This is my inner critic talking, right? And that's when I do the practice of getting quiet and getting still. And I do the examination of just looking at what are the thoughts, right? So it goes, what are the thoughts that are leading to the emotions, right? That are leading to these behaviors. Because when you can really powerfully see this is just my old tape recorded message, right? So this circumstance is bringing up the same old thought that I've had since I was, you know, 6 years old in kindergarten, right? Essentially. And once you can do that, once you can really powerfully distinguish that this isn't the circumstance that's causing your emotions, okay, that it's your old mind. Now, you might be facing a difficult situation, but you can start to intentionally have different thoughts. Like something that you had said before is, I think you said you were on the building, right? And you were saying like, I've gone through hard times before, right? So even just in your mind, being able to say, you know what, I'm uncomfortable right now, and this discomfort is not going to kill me. I can actually sit in my discomfort and I can just feel it. I don't have to numb it or discharge it or dump it or try and figure out how to make it go away. I can just be with this discomfort and let it be and take it along with me for the ride, and I can take the very next action. Because what's interesting is that peace that we're looking for, that joy, that confidence, we actually get it through action more than anything. Right. And so many people, what people want is, well, first I'll figure out how do I get comfortable and how do I get to be at peace? And then I'll take the action. We got it backwards, right? Sometimes we've got to be so flippant uncomfortable, right? That we are shaking and we're sweating and we feel like we're going to throw up, or maybe we do throw up, or we're crying, or we're doing whatever it is, right? And having that difficult conversation or taking that next step. But we're going to do it anyway, right? Because it's just discomfort. And that's the game changer, right? When you can sit in your own discomfort, you can know what it is, you can know why it's there, where it's coming from, and you can say, I'm going to feel this and I'm going to just take the next action. That's where the freedom lies.
That is so true. I just looked down at the clock and we are out of time already.
Gosh, that went quickly. Yes.
Do you have anything else you wanted to cover before we wrap up the show today?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I just love the work that you're doing in the world. I love meeting people that are, just helping get the word out, right? To teach people how to think in a way that that brings joy. So thank you so much for your work in the world. And I feel like the more that we can, you know, create this ripple effect of more and more people knowing how to intentionally think, I think we can change the planet. So I think that's a really cool thing. Yeah.
Thank you. You're so welcome. But it was my pleasure to have you on the show today. I know you do too, love talking about this. I love helping people with this. I love practicing it in my own life. When I started this show, the end of the season, I think that you'll be in, we'll be in episode 80. And
that is unbelievable. Three
years ago in the upcoming March is when I started it. And I was uncomfortable. I had to pre-record. It was just me. I had to ask my friends to come on the show. I just don't even go listen to the first show, guys. It's not my panic talking. It's more do yourself a favor. This is much better listening. But it's putting yourself out there. Listening to that heart. It was such a healing experience for me. And it still is. And I'm being called to change and grow in more areas to provide more value and love. Because I feel that in my own life. So I'm right with you, sister. And I know every single person who listens to this is going to be just as grateful. This every single show. First of all, thanking you for your time here today with us, but also showing up for yourself. I mean, it sounds like from the moment you were little, you were into this work, which is awesome.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. But, continually showing up every single day is amazing and providing that beacon of light for others. So how may we, the listeners, be as an act of gratitude to repay you, act of service for you today?
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I have my very first book that I think your listeners will probably have already, it'll already have come out by the time that your listeners hear this interview, but it's coming out November 10th of 2020. Listen, if you're drawn to this and you want to go grab a copy of my book, it's called Dethroning Your Inner Critic, The Four-Step Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Empowerment. I'm really excited about it and proud of it. It talks all about the mind method. And, but really what I can also say is the other way that everybody can repay me is just go love yourself. Just go and stop being so critical of yourself and so hard on yourself and go love yourself, because that is what changes the planet. And we need to do our work to change the planet. And that is really something that you can do to change the planet by learning how to love yourself.
Amen. And I always think of the quote, if you want to change the world, change yourself first, because then you'll be able to listen and move forward and take that action in the way that you're meant to be here on this planet. Thank you so much, Joanna, for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure as well.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.